It's August 30th, Tuesday night. I think this is on. Should be, yeah.
Well, Lord, we ask for your blessings on our meeting tonight.
Yes.
That your truth would flow.
Yes.
That it would be light from heaven, and that we would have ears to hear. Oh, by your Spirit. By your Spirit, do that good work. Amen.
But we are told that John the Baptist was going to baptize with water, but Jesus was going to baptize with the Holy Spirit and fire. I'm not really positive on the fire aspect of it, but unless it's just kind of a symbol of what happens to us through the Holy Spirit. Because it says in Acts 1:8, it says, you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses. Well, I certainly experienced power when I got filled with the Holy Spirit. And a lot of people got filled with the Spirit as a result of it. And the pastor tried to. He wanted to, but his wife... I can't think of what her name was, Lillian maybe. She wasn't too fond of the idea. As a matter of fact, she was pretty much against it. And she says, if you want to be Pentecostal, you need to join a Pentecostal church. Otherwise, you need to stay with the Lutherans. And at that time, I didn't really understand the significance or anything. But anyway... Jesus kept telling us about what would happen when the Holy Spirit came. And one of the places is in John 16:13, where it says, when the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth. Now we know that this is the basis or the work of translators who saw these words, and this is the way they translated it. He will guide you into all truth. It doesn't say guide in all translations. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Well, I realized something. There are a lot of things in the scriptures that we look for and we try to figure out, well, what does this mean? And, you know, a lot of the things that are, especially in the book of Acts, have direct things to point to some of the things that we don't understand. Like, for instance, in Matthew 28:19, where it says, it looks like Jesus is saying this. And he says, you shall baptize in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And then, so, now the Bible says the letter kills and the word and the Spirit brings life. Now, would the letter of that word kill you if you didn't understand it?
Could.
Yeah. This is life eternal, that they would know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you sent. Is that eternal life? Well, that's what that scripture says. And I believe it's, you know, but anyway, so we got this scripture, you know, and so then in Acts, the second chapter, now this is just one of many illustrations of this, but in Acts, the second chapter, I'm not seeing as good as I used to be able to, even though I can see good. It says, in verse 38. You know, that's he asked his disciples. He said, "Who do men say that I am?" And then he asked them. He says, "Well, who do you say that I am?" And Peter said, "You're the Christ." Well, in verse 37, I mean, the Holy Spirit has come upon these guys. So the truth of God is being promoted. You follow me? And so when they heard, it says in verse 36, "The same Jesus whom you have crucified, God has made Lord and Christ." I mean, God made him Lord and Christ. That's what it says. See, that answers the question. And that's what I'm saying. We have a lot of scriptures, especially the book of Acts, that answers a lot of questions that people ask. How about Matthew 28:19? You know that this is not very long afterwards that Peter stands up on the day of Pentecost and he says this. This is maybe only a few weeks after Matthew 28:19. It's not very long. And he says, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift," I think in some places it says a free gift, "of the Holy Spirit." But anyway, so here we have an answer. Is Matthew 28:19 right? No, it's not right.
Yeah, that really kind of answers it, doesn't it?
So there's the answer to Matthew 28:19. Mm-hmm. And in Jerome's book of, he baptized people. He even got people in the full gospel businessmen to baptize in the name of Jesus. And one night he was in Ukraine. Have you read that book? And I think it was in Ukraine that they baptized almost all night long. Mm-hmm. There were so many people that were hungry. And I'd like to think of it. I don't know if it was in Ukraine, but he was in Ukraine. He was in Russia. And Gorbachev died today, or yesterday. 91. He was only 5 years older than me. Not that that means anything. And Ronald Reagan, I think, told him to tear down the wall. Was it him? And a bunch of people that were were afraid of what would happen with the atomic bombs and stuff. They were quoting and they said, "We'd rather be red than dead." And I think it was Reagan that says, "Not me." And so we have the people that are in Russia today that were part of the Soviet Union. These countries, they don't want to be back to the Soviet Union. So anyway, he said that this promise is to you and your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Does that kind of put an end of the whole thing? You kind of know that it's not gonna end up some other way.
Mm-hmm.
The Holy Spirit is still going to be a part of whatever takes place. Well, add your 2 cents worth. My brain is getting tangled. And especially this time of night.
Well, you know, once the light shines, Jesus was a man.
Yeah.
It's as easy as that.
Yeah.
It really is easy as that. Now, as a glorified man, you know, whatever he's doing now, that's something. But
he had to be a man to have blood, because there's no remission of sin without the descendant of blood.
Yeah. And never, never, never is he called a God.
Yeah.
Never, couldn't happen.
No, it just pops up everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
There are so many little inferences that I never saw before. But when that's in the back of your mind as a truth, they just pop up all over the place, you know? And I just went back and read that, and it's interesting, you know? I said, well, we should compare the two. Disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of, which it says, Father and the Son and the Holy, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. Peter goes, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Isn't that interesting? And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So you're getting two things right away by being prayed for in Jesus' name. You know, being baptized in His name. His name. And you know, later on, it's like, I remember we came across the Revelation 2. And I saw it really clear. It just jumped out and made so much sense to me. And He has given Him the name that is above every other name. In heaven and in earth. Well, so what else are you going to pray that's going to be effective?
Mm-hmm.
It has to be in Jesus' name, you know? God set it up. He said, and He has all authority in heaven and in earth.
And Jesus continually says, I did this in your name, or whatever. You know what I mean? Everybody, I quote me that quick.
What was the situation?
A number of times he says, "I came to you in my Father's name."
Amen.
Do you remember where the verses are or anything?
No. Not really.
One thing, you know, it occurred to me. That baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, it doesn't say anything about the deity of Christ or whether there's a Trinity or anything else. All it does is kind of mess up baptisms.
Yeah.
You know, it dilutes the understanding of them. It dilutes the truth that is supposed to be coming across in them. But beyond that, and there's no particular significance as far as shedding light on what the Godhead is.
I love chapter 2, verse 22. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man, attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands and crucified and put to death, whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held by it. Why? Because God didn't want it that way. He didn't want him held by death, you know. But how did he come? Well, it was determined purpose and foreknowledge of God.
Yeah.
Wasn't because he was an equal acting somebody in a trinity. You know? It was predetermined that he would be born of a virgin on a certain day, in a certain year, at a certain time. You know?
And God somehow has a way of doing all that.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, he can do it.
So if he prophesies on a certain day something's going to happen, he'll make sure it does.
And then in 3:13, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied the presence of the Father, when he was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One and the just and asked for him, okay, and killed him. So then it goes down in 16, because this is all right after Peter healed the lame guy, I think it was. The guy that was by the gate, beautiful.
Peter and John. Yeah.
Or one of them, yeah, both of them were there, John and Peter. And his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes through him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you. So we can have that same faith go
Amen.
Through us.
Amen.
You know?
Yep.
Same faith. And it will.
Mm-hmm.
It will start happening.
Well, I can't say that I've ever had the kind of faith that it takes. And yet, I have seen oodles of things happen.
Right.
It's like God just kind of ignored the faith aspect and did it anyway. And little Caden, that night that he was healed, you know, supernaturally healed, he's like 12 now. You know that he remembers just about every detail that happened? Hmm. He tells kids, you know, is classmates about it. So he'd be like our Brian was. I got a picture of Brian, and it's an 8x10, and it's kind of, the picture is beautiful. But, and I can remember him at that age, but at the same time, I had kind of forgot it till I saw the picture. And, you can't really read anything into a picture, but as I looked in his eyes, I could see God. I mean, it was just, you look at a picture, then you tell me.
Yeah.
Just the innocence and the, you know. Brittany has read a lot of his notes, and I don't know when he took them or anything, but he took a lot of notes for being that little.
You know, I remember this every once in a while. When I was only about, must have only been 5, 6 maybe, because we left the farm, let's see, between I think 3rd and 4th grade for me. And this happened quite a bit before that. So my dad's hauling a grain trailer up to the elevator to put up in the grain bins, you know. And I don't know how, but somehow I fell. And he ran over my legs, and I yelled, and then he backed up, whoa, and never got hurt. Now, you could say, well, some of those tires, you know, tend to fund you, you know. But still, you know, it went over a part of my legs that didn't break anything, you know. I think I probably couldn't move them at first for a while just because. But I've never had an effect from it. So, you know, it's just little things like that you forget sometimes.
At the time, did you have any sense?
You know, at that particular, I remember though being in the pasture and we had a young colt that we were going to take care of. This place would let you get some of their colt ponies and raise them until they got so much age, and then you give them back and they give you something else to have, you know, to help. Or our mare that was pregnant, and she'd have a foal at your place. Well, I was out there and this thing was running and it was coming right at me and I fell. And it just, of course, I guess when you think about it, their eyesight at night is better. But I know that after that happened, I said, there was angels that kept that horse from running me over. You know, that was what was in my mind. I said, God had angels. And I told my mom that, you know, I remember telling my mom. And so I had some recollection of God at that time, you know, because we went to a Lutheran church in the country, and I was going to parochial school. I was going to school there, you know, until we moved into town. So, yeah, whatever. So it's kind of funny, you don't realize that a lot of that stuff starts way before you think it does, that he has his hand on you, you know.
Yeah.
Totally rebel against it all later, of course.
My dad was shy about it. But I can remember seeing him behind the house or something on his knees praying. Hmm. And he was embarrassed. I don't think he wanted me to see it, you know. But I'm sure that had some impact as well, you know. And Clayton and I were in the house, and we had the gasoline lantern, and the plunger stuck. It had like a piece of sand or something in it, and it shot gas out through the hole, and the house was on fire. And I aimed the fire right at me, and I jumped out in the snowbank and passed out. And it burnt my face until, you know, a lot of my hair was gone and stuff. And I think I might have been in high school. I'm not sure if I was that close or not. No, I was in grade school. And, but anyway, my dad didn't have a car that would make the trip, so he got a hold of my Uncle Tom. And I rode in his car and went to the hospital, you know. And I remember saying, Jesus, if you get me out of this, I'll serve you the rest of my life. Hmm. Why? Hmm. Why did I say that? I didn't even have a relationship with the Lord. Yeah. But I can remember doing it, and he took me up on it. And my mother was we didn't have access to churches. We had a little Church of Christ, and they had one thing in mind, that was communion. They had a communion even nobody was there. Even if there was just one person.
So now, I'll just throw this out. So why would God reveal these truths all of a sudden?
It's got a plan. It
must be a plan, that's right.
Yeah.
Or a purpose.
The time is coming when it needs to be revealed.
Yeah.
I had a long talk with Dale the other day. And I realized that Dale was old enough by the time that things happened to the Lutheran Church that he remembers it as good as I do. And he was dumbfounded with what he saw. A lot of things I don't remember seeing, you know. We had a husband and wife. The guy never came. She did, and he had a big stake in the house, and she couldn't sleep at nights because of it. She's afraid of it, you know. And I don't know what ever happened, but we got a couple of those things in my house.
Oh, cages. Well, I was reading here in Acts 3:22. For Moses said, "The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your own people. You must listen to everything he tells you. Anyone who does not listen to him will be completely cut off from their people."
So yeah, that's scary.
He's warning us, you better listen to every...
Where are you at? What is it?
Acts chapter 3, and I started in verse 22.
Where does it give you in the Old Testament? As a
in Deuteronomy.
Deuteronomy 18.
Yeah.
And Genesis 25.
Oh, yeah. But I noted that once here a little while back, didn't we? That's an amazing statement, too, because the way it puts him as one of the people. Which is not a God, you know?
Right. A prophet.
From among you.
From among you.
Right. Which means men. Mm-hmm. You know, people.
Among your own people, he says.
Yeah.
So you must listen to everything he tells you.
Remember that night we were reading that, and that's what jumped out to me was among your own people.
Mm-hmm. You know, and then he came to him, and they knew him not to.
Yeah.
It was Deuteronomy 28:13.
18. 15.
28 or Deuteronomy 23.
Deuteronomy is after Exodus, huh?
Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy.
18:15.
Okay.
Oh, I got it. Yeah, Deuteronomy.
The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from your fellow Israelites. You must listen to him, for this is what you asked for, the Lord your God, at Horeb, on the day of the assembly when you said, "Let us not hear the voice of the Lord our God, nor see this great fire anymore, or we will die.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's a kind of different version. Because I noticed right when you got to the end, it says, "Let me see this great fire, nor let me see this great fire more, lest I die." And it's in yours, it says,
"We will die."
Yeah.
So read yours again.
The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your midst, from your brethren, him you shall hear. According to all you desired of the Lord your God in Horeb, in the day of the assembly, saying, "Let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, nor let me see this great fire any more, lest I die."
That must be Moses speaking.
Yeah.
It is, yeah.
Yeah.
When he saw the fire, he was afraid of the fire.
Oh, and it repeats it. Huh? Yeah. Down in 18. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brethren, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him. And it shall be that whoever will not hear my words, whoever will not hear my words, which he speaks in my name, I will require it of him. That's pretty powerful.
Well, yeah, this is it. To be put to death.
Yeah.
I have not commanded him. But a prophet who presumes to speak in my name anything I have not commanded, or a prophet who speaks in the name of other gods, is to be put to death.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The prophet shall die.
Yeah.
He's serious.
Yeah. False prophets.
Yeah.
No, it is troubling, the condition of the Jews.
The consequences, yeah.
I don't know if you're aware. Do you remember that they shared that they were going to have a prophet coming sometime? That new church?
Okay.
I guess it might have been Sunday.
Okay.
So, there's no way I was going to go somewhere else to hear a prophet than be here. But, but yeah, it's interesting. It would have probably been interesting to hear him. But I wasn't thrilled about it.
Now, when are they having this? The end of September? Or?
For their first meeting,
yeah,
25th.
Okay. Yeah, I have a hard time getting worked up enthusiastic about someone who's got the title of a prophet.
Yeah.
Maybe there is some way in which evangelists or prophets,
I prophesied one time, and this was to Bob Peden, and him and his wife were heading for Bogota, Colombia. And I knew one night, he was totally against receiving the Holy Spirit. His brother Willis went to the church. And one night we're sitting in the service, one Friday night, and I told Bob, I said, "I think we're supposed to go see Bob. This is his friend, Bob Peden." And he kind of laughed, and he said, "He'll kick us out." And I said, I don't think he will. He said, "Well, I'll give him a call." So he did, and Bob said, "Yeah, come on over." And he told me, he says, I don't know what happened. I said, we went over to his house, and his wife was at a prayer meeting at the Baptist church. And he was standing by himself in the basement, which was also the garage. And we come in here, he had this great big grin on his face. And he said, "You guys came over to pray for me to get the Holy Spirit, didn't you?" And we said, "Yeah." And we laid our hands on him and prayed for him. And the next thing we know, he's dancing around in the thing and speaking in tongues. And I told Bob, I said, let's get out of here before his wife comes home. And her name was Betty Payton. And anyway, they came with us the next Friday night over to Calvary Dean's. And and I don't remember what I prophesied to him, and he went in the strength of the prophecy for 5 years. So it was a real one, you know.
Now, I'm going to correct you.
Okay, go for it.
You only prophesied one time in that manner, but you prophesied 100 different times according to 1 Corinthians 14.
Yeah.
I think that's so.
And so have all of us.
Yeah. Speaking under the anointing, sure.
Yeah. You know, that's the thing. It's, and even when it, what were we using as the reference for, and he will,
talk about Deuteronomy?
Is that where it is, where it says that you will prophesy? No, we just was, it was just earlier when we were, anyway, it just says at the end, and you will prophesy things that commerce or was using a reference to something. But that's even in that reference, that's not the only thing it was referring to. You know, that's just one of the aspects of prophesying.
You probably are thinking Deuteronomy 18, verse 22. When a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if the thing follows not, nor come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord has not spoken. But the prophet hath spoken it presumptuously. Thou shalt not be afraid of
him. It was something we were referring to in the New Testament. It's either Acts or in Matthew, maybe. Well, the reference in Matthew, maybe it is that. Maybe it was Matthew when it was referring to that 28:19. Well, there's go there for me. Teaching them to observe all things that have commanded. No, that's not it. Okay, so it must be in Acts. Well, it says,
it's Acts 3:22, it talks about Moses, and he says, the Lord your God will raise up a prophet like me from your brother. Him you shall hear in all things, whatever he says to you. And it shall be that every soul who will not hear that prophet shall be utterly destroyed from among the people.
Yeah, it's something about what they're going to prophesy that I saw. It's got to be in there.
That was Acts 22.
In the first chapter, in the 14th chapter, 1 Corinthians, it says the prophet edifies, comforts.
Yeah.
And exhorts, doesn't it?
So you know that's not just speaking of something in the future.
Yeah.
It's other things, too.
That's right.
The only place we were, wasn't it?
Acts and Matthew.
Well, we were in John. hearing things.
Well, we're talking about the baptism.
John. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you in all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take up what is mine and declare it to you. So that's one case where he's going to let us know things to come, but that's not the only thing that gets done. Because then I think that's when I went to 1 Corinthians 14, and you quoted, Keith. For you can all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all may be encouraged, and the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. See, the two or three. Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's, however is it then, brethren, whenever you come together, each of you has a song, has a teaching, has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation, that all things be done for edification.
You know, they had the office of a prophet in the Old Testament.
Right.
I can't think of any one who had the office of a prophet in that kind of way.
In the New Testament. Except Jesus, I think.
Yes.
Because it says, I will raise up a prophet.
Yeah, that's right.
So he's probably the
only. I mean, not that there, you know, there's prophecy, certainly, in the New Testament.
Right.
But have a guy that you would always be, okay, hey, we need a prophet, let's bring in so-and-so, you know.
Yeah.
I think
that's another one of the distinctions of why God was being so gracious and merciful when he gave the new covenant, because there he didn't restrict it to an office of one person.
Yeah.
You know, he
right.
said, "No, I'll use all of you to prophesy." Mm-hmm. You know.
Yep. Yeah, that's the picture we get.
Yeah.
There in 1 Corinthians 14.
If you prophesy, does that make you a prophet?
Yeah, I don't know.
Well,
that point, but I mean, does it make you forever?
Yeah, it's hard to say. You know, that's another thing. True, you know.
Yes, that's so, but there was, you know,
I thought we found that we saw that prophesying was the proclaiming of the word of the Lord.
Speaking the Lord's word, yes. It is
speaking
the Lord using you to speak his words.
Yeah, that's right.
You know,
yeah.
So it's kind of like preaching, if you want to call it that, in a sense.
If preaching can certainly be prophetic.
If
you are under the anointing of the Holy Spirit here.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean that you always are.
No, that's right.
That's where a lot of people, they think, I had this happen, I'm a prophet,
I gotta keep
being a prophet.
I know.
No, there's been times when I felt to bring forth something from the Lord,
and
I've been scared to, because I didn't want people to assume that was from the Lord if it wasn't. No.
I've never had any question about the anointing when you have something here, Barb. I've never had a question.
But
about
I do question myself.
Yeah, well.
And I think that's okay.
No, I don't.
Oh.
I'm sorry.
I'm a little bit with Glenn on that one. If the anointing is there, the anointing is there. And You should not be doubtful.
It happened, so
right.
You don't have to be concerned. You know,
because that's not the Lord telling you to do this. It's the devil telling keeping you from doing.
I don't claim to be a prophet just because I have prophesied.
No, it's just something that you are have been used in.
From
sure.
The Lord, and He used it, and at that moment.
Well, it's saying that, you know, one say this, the next say that, mm-hmm. And then one be quiet, and then another one. Well, but then the next reference is the prophets are subject to the prophet. So it's kind of saying, yeah, when you do that, you're in the acting as a prophet.
Yeah, and you know, it is up to us to make an assessment.
Yeah,
Adam.
Right.
You know. So if I have the idea that you're a little out of line there, Barb, I suppose I've got something like an obligation to.
I hope so.
Yeah.
Well, we should all be willing to be open to that because
yeah. We're
human,
yeah.
Once in a while.
Yeah.
I mean, Glenn, if you all, you know, it's nice to be praised when you're right, but it's also you have to be able to accept correction when you're wrong.
Right.
It's easy to accept the praise.
Yeah.
Not so easy sometimes to accept the correction.
No, that's right.
You know? And that tells you you've got a problem somewhere.
Yeah.
You know?
Because that is the great test when you're willing to accept the.
If more than one person tells you you're wrong, well, you better believe that you probably are wrong.
Yeah.
You know?
Kind of what it says, you know?
You know.
I guess that's kind of why I would question them bringing in a prophet.
Well,
I do too. I have a question about that. I just don't.
Yeah, but there are lots of there. I remember I was for a while listening to that Clement came from, you know. And then later on, it got. And then, you know, who else started kind of trying to be a prophet, I think, was that John Potter. I really liked his worship at one time. But then I quit listening for years there. So then I thought, well, I wonder what's going on. And well, I happened to see him pop up for some reason. It showed me him on YouTube or something. And I started listening to him a little bit. And then he was getting, then it was kind of like, yeah, I know a lot.
Yeah,
it was kind of fucked up.
That would show on Sunday morning. You know, he talked pretty good, but then he made some statements that, nope, that's it. You know, did not accept what we believe.
Right.
You know, I mean, they go along and you go along and that's good, that's good. Then all of a sudden, bang, it's just like yesterday. A lot of people are moving out of the campground. So I went up to Bloomer and help move. And I was riding back with Dwayne, and he's a retired minister. And we were on the way back, he just out of the blue said, you know, I've been doing a lot of studying on the Trinity. Oh, boy. Mm-hmm. And I didn't say anything because I could not think of anything to say at the time, you know what I mean? It's like, okay, don't say nothing, keep your mouth shut, just let it go, you know. Yeah.
I wonder how you do that.
Well,
was he saying because he believed it or because he wasn't sure about it?
I didn't want to get into it because I was not prepared to make to answer any questions on my own.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And then this morning I thought, you know, I could have asked him and really got things going if he thought Jesus was a man. You know, in the, you know, thing. But then I thought that this morning, I was just better off keeping my mouth shut at this, that point.
Yeah, that's right, because the Lord is fucking prompting you to do at the time.
Right.
You know, sometimes He says you won't, you don't speak.
Yeah.
The Lord's working on it.
No good thing happens sometimes, often.
Yeah, I just could not come up with anything to comment on that. You know, it's like, first of all, it caught me way off guard.
Yeah.
You know, sitting there riding like, you know, you drive home and you don't talk much. When you get another person in the car, you still don't talk much. You know, because you're used to just driving and not talking. And so it just came up out of the blue. And I'm like, whoa. But anyway, I mean, I like the guy. He's a nice guy and everything, you know. And there's a lot of people that believe different, you know.
Okay. Well,
he did believe in the Trinity because I remember when we had Bible studies at the campground in our camper. And he was you know, reading scriptures from the Trinity and stuff. But
what
the Lord can
change.
You know,
the Lord
can. There's a scripture in 1 John, the 4th chapter, and it says, every spirit that believes that Jesus was came in the flesh is from God. And it says, and every spirit that does not believe that he came in the flesh is not from God, and that's the spirit of the Antichrist.
Absolutely, yes.
Well, the thing about it, a Trinitarian does not believe that he came in the flesh. Because he's co-equal, co-existent, co-whatever else, and it doesn't work.
Anyway, it was...
Yeah. I remember, you know, Rick Joyner and that.
Yeah.
He wrote those books of prophecy. And, boy, the kind of things that he was prophesying would occur were just so wonderful, so marvelous. Oh, oh, oh. Problem is, they didn't have it occurred. and that is supposed to be the measure. Hey,
yeah.
Does it happen or doesn't it happen?
Unless they're saying, well, not yet.
But yeah, well, you can.
But, you know, but they were looking.
Yeah.
You know, I was listening to. I was going to just bring this up before you mentioned about writing with that guy, but you know, we've had a little thing about worship, you know. Because this other group does, you know, flag worship. So I was listening to that, and I listened to a particular CD that I have that I just love. It's one of the best witnessing tapes, songs, CD that I've heard. And it's Charlie Daniels when he, and it had to be not too long after he got born again and everything, you know, because... He's saying things with such conviction, and it really ministers, you know. I mean, and so I really enjoyed that, and then I started listening to one of the Morningside, no, not Morningside, Morningstar, yeah, with Don Potter, and I thought, okay, so now I really was affected by this. What is that going to do for me in the hours and days to come? That was really good. And then, even while I was listening, I was going, but if you don't put the Word of God there and go for that after the worship, or whatever, you know, and it's like, oh yeah, we have like, they have 40 minutes of worship and then 20 minutes of, you know, preaching or whatever. You know what? It should be 120 minutes of preaching and 10 minutes of worship or what? You know? Really? Because what's the most important? Truth. And you only get so much truth in a song if there is truth, you know, which, like that Charlie Daniels, he really uses the scripture and he sings the story kind of what the scripture is saying, you know. But anyway, so that only takes you so far. You know, you better be, and I used to be totally into the worship and love music and listen to everything just, you know, for hours at night. Man, I was missing out. You didn't have that Word of God. That stuff there ain't going to carry you through. You know?
Yep.
So you got to be careful, you know, and not put too much importance on it. And then, you know, remember that one thing, this Don Potter, he had a moment and he put it in an album where it was just strictly instrumental. But he stated in there, I sat down facing the wall and I said, Lord, I'm going to worship you, you know? And he puts his instrument and whatever. And he said, you know, and I kept, and finally it was like, wait a minute. I'm going to worship to you. How about I get in the place where I think I could maybe worship you? You know, I mean, the way he presented it, it made so much sense. It's like, how many people that are in music ministry have got to the place where they don't care what they sound like, what they look like, how good they are, they're just worshiping the Lord. You know, and I'm willing now, if I meet groups, that's a question I'm going to throw out at them. You know?
What is true worship? Is it beautiful to our flesh? Or beautiful
is it because
to our spirit?
You love how God gave you this talent to worship Him? Mm-hmm. No, come on.
If it opens your spirit up, and your spirit moves.
Yeah, and you know what? There's actually, I believe the Lord does put His spirit on some songs, whether that was there at the time they were making the song or not, just for your benefit, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. because you got an open heart. And He can minister to you. Doesn't mean that does it to everybody, or even did it to the one that wrote the song, you know, or whatever.
You know, it reminds me of the thing that Sue said here a few Sundays back when we were talking about singing. She said, "I can't sing very good, but I make a joyful noise unto the Lord." You know,
and that's what the Lord wants.
Yeah,
because it's her spirit.
I know there was a few times that, and I don't think I was. I know I wasn't always totally anointed or in the spirit that I wanted to minister in song or whatever. And you know, but what I said, I even mentioned to Pam, I said, you know, I'm not going to worry about how good I sound. I just want to give it unto the Lord. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. Now that my heart probably wasn't always there like that, but you know, and it, because actually, if the Lord wants to beautify it, He'll make anybody sound good. To everybody else's ear, you know.
But what's beautiful to Him isn't necessarily beautiful to us.
Yeah, and I long for the day when you're in worshiping the Lord in spirit and truth, and the angels are accompanying.
Yes.
You know.
That reminds me of the vision that I had. Yeah.
Yes.
You know?
I can hear it, but I can't.
Yeah.
That was good.
I know.
I, for myself, you know, I loved it. I loved the music in this church. Oh, I loved it, you know. I'm sure that's what caused me to stick, you know, to begin with.
Sure, yeah.
Mm-hmm. It was the music. It was music ministry. And I just loved it. And kind of, well, okay, after the sermon, but the good part was the music. And then there was a time when that was lifted.
Yeah.
And for me, anyway, it was important that I let the Lord know, hey, it's all right not to have that thing I just love.
Yeah.
You know, your truth is much more important.
Yeah.
The priority is, you know, and I was happy to be able to demonstrate that to Him. Happy.
Yeah.
That thing I love was something I was willing to put down on the altar or whatever.
That's
on the basis, you know.
And be in the same place. I think you had quite a few that are still here. That's why we haven't pushed to have it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Truth became more important.
Absolutely. Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. And the words that minister to the Spirit.
And then there's the bad taste, because there's always this conflict with people, because some think they should be doing it, and some think they shouldn't be doing it, you know? And that's not harmony. You know?
Oh. Yeah. I don't know. It puts, you know, it becomes a little bit of an issue when we have this stuff going on here. And with the, now, I'm sure the Lord, you know, we're not some fragile little flower. We should, you know, we can handle it, but still.
He's going to teach us another lesson.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
That we need.
Yeah. I loved singing in the spirit. Oh my, I love that thing, you know.
Well, you can do that many times.
Well, you can. Yeah. I haven't.
Just recently, I've done it a little bit more.
Have you?
Yeah. Yeah, if I just caught myself walking around through the house, and all of a sudden I wasn't just speaking in tongues, I started having a melody. You know?
Yeah.
It is nice.
Yeah.
Since I
haven't
happened, but.
I don't know.
Over to it. True worship.
Love you all.